Hey everybody, and welcome to the 12th episode of season 4 of the brand new award-winning
Woo!
Press X to Start.
You are a terrible Jamaican.
That wasn't me. That was Marcus.
Marcus, how many side families you got?
Wow.
I only have the one right now, but I'm working my way up. Oh my God. But Press X is a weekly gaming podcast about inclusivity and its place in gaming. Games for everyone. And we here at Press X hope to break down the walls of exclusivity with our discussions on news, reviews, and all things video games. I'm your host, your heavyweight champion from Wishanigga Wood, California, a.k.a. the janitor, because I'll be watching niggas, a.k.a. King COVID.
Hey.
Hey.
Marcus Ellison.
What it do, everyone? This is your boy, a.k.a. the Sultan of Segways, a.k.a. Cameron, because I didn't actually say my name, a.k.a. Animal Control, because I'd be taking these dogs and sending them. I'd be adopting the dogs and sending them back.
Oh my God.
Oh, out here giving animals false hope and shit. I am Sean MF Ross.
What the MF stand for?
Put your pussy lips on live, I give you $1,000. The MF is silent.
Oh my God.
It's still
funny.
So good.
It's still funny.
Oh Jesus. I am DJ aka Sexy Bad Choices. AKA Vaguely Jamaican. AKA Did you know
what?
That there is a Gundam YouTube channel. That is not what you think. No, it's not the anime Gundam. It is the live version of the Gundam that's going to be built in Japan. They have videos of this stuff. It is amazing.
Question.
Yes.
Tell me what you think about this. No, okay, so dead ass. Are they calling it a Gundam? Like, are there no trademark or copyright issues with that?
No, I believe the creator of Gundam is involved. Yeah, it's the RX-78, like... the original Gundam.
Because we know what the fuck that is.
Well, yeah, I realized after I said it, yeah.
Man, know all the specs.
When you think Gundam, it's that Gundam. But yeah.
Sorry, I fell asleep.
Your mic channel fell asleep.
And now that we're all introduced, we're going to talk about what we've been playing.
No, I thought we were going to talk about
the... Oh, we are going to talk about the WebFest. My bad. Before we go into what we've been playing, as I had mentioned earlier, we are an award-winning podcast in the 8th annual DC WebFest.
Yes.
We won the bronze in the podcasting section. Cam, you want to talk about it? Because you so eloquently talked about us when we were actually at the award show.
My man made it sound like we had some sense.
I know, right?
Well, like most absentee fathers, I come into the picture when my podcast wins an award.
Yo, Cam,
I'm not there to...
It took a whole pandemic and an award show to bring Cam back to the podcast.
Cam's the absentee Superman.
I was like, I'm not raising these kids.
Okay, LeBron father.
We going to the NBA. But anyway, I want to give a shout out to the DC WebFest. Thank you so much for having us and hosting us and for the award. It was a wonderful opportunity to expose what we talk about to a broader audience. We had an opportunity to play a clip from the show and answer some questions. I also used it as an opportunity to give a big shout out to Marcus. A lot of the questions we got were related to our sound. Everybody said it was very crispy.
Hey.
And so, Marcus, you are the reason why it's crispy.
Very true.
It's because we black. We got crispy fades and crispy audio.
And crispy chicken.
Oh, my God.
From Popeye's. Sponsors. But no, it was a wonderful occasion. And I just want to thank the DC WebFest family for having us. And we'll see you next year. And next year, we're taking the gold.
Hell yeah.
Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga.
All right. Well. And now it's actually time to get into what we've been playing. And I'm going to start it off. Persona 5 Royal came out. And I'm about, I mean, it's an 100-hour game, so I'm nowhere close to
putting
a dent in the game.
Yeah,
but, like, I'm done with the first dungeon, so I've got a little bit of headway in, and I've played enough to see the changes in the game that have been implemented.
Okay.
It kind of operates like, not so much the Game of the Year edition, but more so just like, if they could have renamed this, it would be Persona 5, the Definitive Edition.
You sure this ain't like Kingdom Hearts 2.8?
Sort of, yeah, yeah. It's kind of like that, where it's basically the same game, Persona 5, through and through, but they've added in quality of life improvements, as well as a whole new semester, a new party member. They actually added in a school therapist, because after the first dungeon, there's some stuff that happens in the school that, in the original game, it sort of just... they don't gloss over, but people just kind of move on. But but realistically, after what happens in the game, it's like, these kids would probably need some therapy. So they actually bring in a school therapist that is actually a confidant that you can build a relationship with as well.
Well, do you get any, like, perks?
Yeah, yeah, like, because he's got his own confidant leveling up system, so you get perks from him as well. And
bro, how do you have time for... I remember with the regular confidants, I barely had time to like do anything with them, like throwing some extra folks. Oh my god, it sounds
because
overwhelming.
So for anybody who's familiar with Persona, especially Persona 5, there's a lot of time management that goes into it, which just makes being a Japanese person seem exhausting. Like, if this is how y'all operate in daily life, I don't want it. There's a lot of time management. And so the ideal way to play Persona 5 and in turn Persona 5 Royal is with a guide. And I'm using a guide right now, and I've been pretty on point with it so far. Hopefully I'm able to finish this. Unlike Persona 5, where something happened with the guide and it threw me off and I was just not able to recoup the losses. So hopefully I'm able to just go all the way through this time.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
With the guide, how like how precise is it? Is it like, okay, you have to go into this dungeon, make a left here, get this item, make sure you have this item before you fight this boss. And then after you jump out of the boss fight, you have to go here and do these four things. Is it like super precise like that? Or is it just like, all right, you want to make sure that you're level X before you fight this guy. Good luck. Have fun.
It's kind of a middle point between those two.
Okay.
It's not like so micromanaged that it's like, oh, you have to beat the boss in this exact way or you won't do something later this way or whatever. But it's also not as loose as just make sure you're this level. It's very, this is the best way to efficiently use your time and get through dungeons quicker.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, I probably won't be saying too much about it going forward unless like some really, really big stuff happens and really big changes that I want to talk about. But also Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming out basically by the time you guys hear this episode. So I'll be bouncing between those two anyway. So, yeah.
Is everyone going to get that that's on the cast right now? Final Fantasy VII Remake?
Yeah, I'm getting it.
I'm on the fence. I may or may not.
Okay. I'm on the fence too.
He going to get it too.
Something else caught my eye, which I will address.
Ooh, okay.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
But Overwatch?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I also played some Overwatch with Sean. I'm playing a lot of Overwatch throughout the break. And this particular time, though, the only thing I want to bring up is a clip, actually, that Sean just put up today where we were at, I forget which level. It might have been Hanamura. I'm not sure. And Sean was playing Hammond, the hamster, and he latched to the middle column of this giant gazebo and started spinning around, just hitting people.
That shit was wild.
And then I was Lucio, and I jumped up on the column with him, and so I was riding around, healing everybody, while he was riding around, smacking everybody out
there. We ride around and getting it.
Riding dirty.
And I was like, yo, how long can I do this? He's like, theoretically, as long as you want. And I was like, word?
So definitely go check out that clip on our Instagram.
Definitely.
But outside of that, that's pretty much all I've been playing.
So I think we teased at it last cast, but Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 Remastered came out for the PlayStation 4, and it's only $20. Ooh. Apparently, it's delayed 30 days for the Xbox One and the PC because of their exclusivity agreement with Activision. Because
we the best.
Yeah, I played it. It's bringing me back to 09, 08, whenever this came out. The campaign is still fire. You know what? I would compare this to a first-person Uncharted with all the set pieces that it has.
I would agree to that, yeah.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going through the snowmobile level.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That was fire. There was one where you were running, like, through a favela chasing a dude, and, like, at the end of that act, the dude is running from y'all, and I think it's Soap from the very first Modern Warfare. I guess he's a commanding officer now. But, like, yeah, he jumps out of a window and, like, catches this guy and throws him on a car in midair. Like, this shit is, like, damn near Michael Bay movie with slightly less explosions.
Yeah, that's very apt because I remember Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 was the first Call of Duty game that I ever bought and played all the way through.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and
okay.
I was in love with that campaign because, like Sean aptly put, it was like playing through a Michael Bay movie, and that spectacle was just untouched.
And the subject matter that they were kind of hitting on, like America getting invaded and what have you.
Right.
I really wish they would just put Keith David's face in there.
Who's that?
He's the voice of your commanding officer. I want to say Foley or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I did actually get my wife to play the No Russian level.
Really?
And interesting.
Did she shoot anybody?
Immediately.
Come on, Drea.
I said, all right, so you walk with this stick, you look around with this stick, this is your trigger. And so you just have to follow them. And she shoots somebody. I was like, you don't have to shoot anybody. You can just follow until you see the police. And she's like, yeah, I know.
She's, I said what I said.
So, I mean, she got through a majority of it until, like, she came up against opposition in the form of the, police trying to stop you.
I wonder why.
I mean, because she's not experienced in shooters.
Right, like, right.
No, I mean, I wonder why the police showed up.
But, that's still a fun game. I am probably going to finish that sometime this week because it's a short campaign, like less than 15 to 10 hours, depending on if you're trying to 100% everything.
Yeah.
What is upsetting is that I was playing on veteran and I lowered the difficulty to the easiest thing for her, and now I cannot re-raise it, so I have to play and finish out the game.
Really? Gotta play on Weenie Hut Jr.
Yeah, pretty much.
Huh.
How tough are you? I started playing the original Puyo Puyo on the Super Nintendo arcade, whatever the hell, on the Switch.
That sounds derogatory.
And I was like, well, and I said, shit, why not
put your Puyo Puyo on live?
Oh my God. I said, let me play this shit online against some actual competition. And I don't think there are many Americans playing this online because I kept on getting paired up with people in Japan. And man,
that's always fun.
The barbershops are closed, but they kept running my face Japanese style. I swear to God.
So you have chosen death. Right. Yeah.
My first mistake was turning on the console.
You're right.
I think the guy was just playing with me. He just kept on, like, destroying me. I'm probably not going to go back online with that shit. I'll just stick to offline, meeting people that I know.
There you go.
Speaking of, I also played Smash Brothers with Maxine, who our listeners may remember from the last Culture Cast.
Shout out to Max.
Shout out.
Yeah, and her husband, Mark. I actually let Drea play against one of them. I believe it was Mark. She surprisingly beat him.
Oh.
So I won pretty much every match, and I was like, well,
yeah,
they were decent competition, but let me show you how the real competition is online, Dre. And I went online thinking I was going to get crushed, but no, I beat a few people on there too. Unfortunately, you can't just directly record, I think, online matches in Smash Brothers, so I only got, like, screen caps and what have you.
Okay.
Yeah, so DJ was supposed to play with me, but he said he was going to watch Tiger King with his wife.
Yeah.
I recommend all y'all go watch that.
We are almost done. We have one more episode left. And that show is wild.
But anyway, DJ.
Speaking of wild, I have been playing Animal Crossing.
Ooh.
And everyone, I'd like to announce that I have officially beaten Animal Crossing.
How?
You can beat Animal Crossing?
So here's the thing, right? Beating Animal Crossing is like beating Destiny. You beat the quote-unquote campaign or the task that Tom Nook have you, that has you do. But after that, it's like, all right, well, you can still work up your town. You can still expand your house. You can still go like capture creatures and turn them in for money. And then like more people show up and you can kick people out of your town to put more people in it.
Gentrification.
Hey, you gonna make your town a sundown town?
So, DJ, did you murder Tom Nook or not?
No, I didn't. There was no option to do that. And, you know, once you realize that once you give him his money, he's fine. He's a really cool person. Yeah.
Is he like Big Worm?
Big Worm, Big Worm. Where's
I mean, Big Perm?
Oh, no. No. He is... I'll come back to me. I'll give you guys a better description of what Tom Nook is like.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, your demos, DJ?
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it did come back to me. So,
Why are you stupid?
So I played two demos. I played Moving Out, which is a game similar to Stadia's... Sean, what is that?
Get Packed.
There you go. So basically what this game is it's essentially a party game. And you play as a mover, and you're moving people out. So the idea is to go into this house, take all the stuff, grab it, and then throw it into the moving truck. But of course, it's a party game, so the controls are not precise. So your character is like bobbing up and down and around and stuff, and like it's really just like a physics-based moving game. So when you toss stuff, you might toss things into the truck, but if it hits the ramp, it'll like kind of roll down the ramp. So you have to go back and grab it.
Yeah, I had that issue.
Yeah. So like it's one of those games where it's supposed to be a little frustrating, but that's the goal. But that was okay. The other demo I've...
No, wait. I take umbrage with one issue in that game.
Oh, go ahead.
You can choose your character and you can either have legs or you can ride in a wheelchair. And my issue is you can jump in the wheelchair. I don't understand that shit.
You've never seen a person in a wheelchair jump?
How, Sway?
I don't accept your bigotry in 2020.
You ain't got the answer, Sway.
Well, the other game that I had the joyous occasion of playing was Resident Evil 3. I played a total of, I'd say, about 5.5 minutes of it.
Wow.
You might be wondering, how did I only get that far into that game? So,
damn, you got to Nemesis in 5.5 minutes?
Right. I'm pretty good, I tell you. So
you basically played through half of the campaign then?
Yeah, pretty much. God dang, that game is short.
Because it's 10 minutes long.
Yeah, so I started the game. I got out of the, like, I guess the talking area with Carlos and the sergeant guy, got up the steps, got out into the street, saw my first zombie, and I was like, bet, I got a gun, I got some bullets, I'm about to shoot the zombie in the face. I aimed to the zombie's head, and then my controller was like, no, you have never experienced this. And it just started going all over the fucking place. I'm like, what is happening right now? Meanwhile, the zombie's head is also shaking all over the goddamn place. I'm just like, what is this? What is this game? So I stopped. I'm like, okay. Obviously, I am being a little too twitch for this game, so let me go into the control settings to figure out how to change the camera speed of the aiming. I couldn't find it, so I was just like, all right, well, fuck this game.
Yeah, Resident Evil is anti-twitch. Like, it is not anywhere close.
The aiming was terrible. Anyways, I basically... fought my way through the first zombie. I didn't even fight my way through the first zombie. I let the shit bite me a couple times because I saw that there was a quick time prompt on screen when the zombie bite you. So I was just like, oh, it's X. So maybe if I tap X, you will like struggle off the zombie and he won't bite you. No, that didn't work. Okay. Maybe if I hold X, that'll work. No, that ain't work either. Okay. Maybe if I do nothing, it'll work. No, that ain't work either. All right. This game is getting deleted. So that was my experience with Resident Evil 3.
This man went to every option except tapping the button repeatedly. Like, he went to every possible option.
Well, apparently it doesn't matter because...
It doesn't, no.
If a zombie gets a hold of you, they bite you regardless. Yeah. There's no way to avoid that, getting bit, which sucks.
That is one of the most frustrating aspects of the OG and the new games, is just the fact that the melee aspect of the Resident Evil games is trash. And so if a zombie gets close enough to you, you either have to dodge out the way or take that L, get bit, and then try your luck the second time. And
yeah,
that is kind of whack.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So actually, after that scene, I finally was like, fuck it. So I just shot the zombie enough times in the face. Yes, I realize it's Resident Evil zombies, and it took half of my clip to put the damn thing down in the face.
And then he got back up again, right?
Well, no, that one didn't.
That shit.
That one didn't. That so I knew that was Resident Evil, so that didn't bother me. I expected that. I went down an alley. I saw two zombies come out like fucking Thriller, and I was like, oh shit, all right. I don't have enough bullets for this.
They were dancing and everything. So I
pulled out. They were. So I pulled out my knife. And right as the zombie goes to attack me, I like try to stab the zombie in the chest. And then Jill is like, oh no, I know what to do.
That's not a knife.
So Jill like does like a command roll and like turns around and then slices the zombie in the back. I'm like, yeah. And the zombie turns around and is like.
She did a Tybo roll.
Right. Yeah. So the zombie turns around and just bites me in the neck again. I'm like, all right, now I'm done with this fucking game. That's when I turned the game off.
Like I said, the melee in Resident Evil is trash. I think the thing about Resident Evil is there are playthroughs that I've seen where people have not even fired a shot or maybe fired a couple of shots and just dodged mm-hmm. their way through everybody or every zombie mm-hmm. that they encountered. The game is survival horror to the core. So it's very much so, okay, you're dropped in a perilous situation with very limited resources and you're surrounded. And because of that, in some cases, if you're into that sort of thing, it really works, especially in Resident Evil 2, where they had this claustrophobia to it because you're literally just in one building going corridor to corridor. And Resident Evil 3 sort of does the same thing, except it applies that same logic to multiple buildings, but it still sort of plays similarly.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
But I've heard just from multiple sources that, like, Resident Evil 3 doesn't do enough to reinvent the wheel the way that Resident Evil 2 did. So it just kind of was a middling experience at best.
Right. It just reaffirms the fact that Resident Evil 3 was supposed to come out with Resident Evil 2.
Yeah. Which would have made much more sense.
Right. So, Cam, you didn't have the same experience that I did. Or maybe you did.
No. Okay. No, because I played better games, or one game that was better.
Shit.
Nailed it.
So first and foremost, I played Mario Party with my wife, Kimberly. It was a great experience.
Let it be known.
She's really good at the rhythm section part, you know, the part where you have to like do the little like dance to the rhythm games.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's a Jamaican minigame?
Wow. Are you saying you have no rhythm?
I'm not saying, but I'm not denying. So you can take
We're going to send the black police over to take your car. No worries.
But she did really, really well. I actually enjoyed the experience. The only other like co-op game we've ever played together was Overcooked. And that was hard.
Man,
that'll test your marriage.
Overcooked is the monopoly of video games.
Boy, you are not wrong.
I was ready to throw everything away, right? Relationship and everything over. But Mario Party is a different story. The next game I played was Control. So I bought Control on a recommendation from Marcus and Sean because, you know, it was on sale and they both recommended the game. And let me tell you.
Ooh.
That game was cheeks.
Ooh, here we go.
That's
absolute cheeks.
That's a
stretch.
Did you
enjoy the gameplay?
No. I am mad I gave that my energy.
Oh, man.
So let me tell you, first of all, the game is glitchy. Like, it has a lot of audio and visual cues that pop in and out.
Well, I think it's...
A couple of well, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I think the biggest problem with... Because I said this, I think, either during the game of the year or earlier... than that, but Control is a prime example of a double A game that punches above its weight class. And because of that, certain aspects of it don't match up. Like, yes, it has an ambitious
design,
kind of design to it. Yeah. And they clearly were reaching for triple A quality, but they had a double A budget, which leads to certain things that Cam was talking about.
Yeah.
I don't think it was optimized well, because even on my PlayStation Pro, it was chugging along at times. Like, anytime you paused it, and it unpaused.
Bro, it was, I was like, okay, fine. And then, so the combat, the elements of the combat were fun. It's just, once you get more than, like, you know, 20 enemies, like, my God, bro. And then the checkpoint system plus the load times are the worst. So I got to the part where you had to, like, free up the little satellite dishes to let, like, Polaris go or whatever. And, bro, the niggas that be hovering with the rocks in their hands, they be chucking, like, satellites at you. Like, I died so many times. And then
wait. I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
You said satellites, like whole ass satellites, or like?
Yes. Yeah, you know, like satellite.
They're like these satellite dishes that are shooting out a beam.
Oh, head, like a DirecTV dish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But but like a really big one.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. I get. Okay. Yeah,
not the type of joint that was going to be on the side of your house.
Yeah, yeah.
But no, man. And so, like, dying there, having to redo that whole part over again, plus, like, the 5-minute loading screen. Yeah. And then there was only one good part about the story, which is, like, that that maze where the music kicks in and, like, the
wall. Told you, like, that maze was fire.
Yo, that right there is, like, that game should have been, like, 90% that. once you get to the end with her brother, that, like, the ending is not really satisfying. It honestly felt like a waste of time.
Well, you know, I respect where you're coming from on that.
8-hour waste of time.
I respect where you're coming from on that. To me, I think that I really liked Jessie's journey throughout the campaign of it, because, you know, she goes into it completely out of her depths, and she comes out of it, like, really self-actualized, and she's the director now, and she's confident about it. And I think that that's pretty cool. But I also do think that it could have been better in certain elements as well. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah. So I actually wish now that I had just bought Greedfall instead and then play that all the way up until Final Fantasy.
This man really wanted to play Greedfall over.
It wouldn't be the first time I'm wrong. That's rewind back to that Mass Effect Andromeda podcast.
Cam was like, Technomancer 2.
Marcus, shut up, bro.
Anyway,
but yeah, so with that being said, we're going to take a time. We're going to take a moment to have a word from our sponsors. Anyone got any ideas?
Popeyes.
DC Webfest.
All right.
Oh, DC Webfest. Yeah,
DC Webfest. Sponsor us, nigga.
Hey, fam. Have you been enjoying this episode of Press X to Start? Want to make sure you keep getting the best laughs, latest news, and most fire takes? Then we're going to need your help. If you haven't already, please subscribe to our show. Then tell 3 people about the podcast. Could be friends, strangers, loved ones, or hated ones. Every little bit counts. And after you're done with that, please follow us on Facebook at PressX2Start, Instagram at PressX2Start, Twitter at PressX2S, and YouTube at PressX2StartTV. And if you're done with all this, well done. Many thanks. You're one of the good ones.
And we're back. So now, it's time for the Quick Hits.
Number 1. Animal Crossing New Horizons and Doom Eternal find success in a pandemic-stricken market. This comes from GameDaily.biz. So according to a press release from Bethesda Softworks, Doom Eternal has broken sales records for the franchise. While no hard numbers were revealed, the announcement said that the game saw more than 100,000 concurrent players on Steam during its launch week. It also doubled the launch revenue of 2016's Doom, which is pretty good. That's great.
I'm curious how many people actually downloaded it, considering our last story about the DRM-free version.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah.
That's a good question, yeah.
Well, either way, Bethesda needs his W.
yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. All right. The second part to that is, in Japan, New Horizons sets a record for the biggest Switch launch ever. According to Gamatsu and Gamasutra. Okay. Interestingly, both the UK and Japanese reports only account for physical sales, not digital downloads, which I am a part of, which are likely to be higher than normal as consumers are forced to self-isolate against COVID-19. So that means that it sold gangbusters. So that'd be...
Interesting. You went to Japan to get your physical copy, DJ?
Well, I mean, I neither can confirm nor deny that because I don't want to
get... And this is why we're in our quarantine bunkers now.
Hey, guys, I brought something back with me. Okay, that's terrible.
And it wasn't New Horizons.
Oh, no.
Number two, Sony donates $10 million to COVID-19 Response Fund. This comes from Kotaku. Sony announces today it's donating $10 million to the World Health Organization's Solidarity Response Fund, aiming to fight the ongoing COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic as part of the company's new $100 million relief effort. Jesus, that was a run-on sentence. The second part to that is, through this fund, Sony will provide support in three areas: assistance for those individuals engaged in frontline medical and first responder efforts to fight the virus, comma, support for children and educators who must now work remotely. That's true. Okay. And support for members of the creative community in the entertainment industry, which has been greatly impacted by the spread of the virus.
Thank you so much.
Right. Yeah, definitely. Because that's something that is well needed and people don't really look at that avenue
often, straight up, yeah,
or anytime ever.
The creative community,
yeah, mm-hmm.
They need them to make shit for PS5, yo.
Exactly.
Keep it going.
Yeah. So number three, game industry grapples with the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. This comes from GameBiz.com. Basically, what this is just saying is that Bethesda will no longer be hosting a virtual conference during June, and Wasteland 3 has been delayed until August. So that sucks. Number four. That's from GameDaily.biz. I don't think if I said that.
Yeah.
But yeah, number four. Rockstar Games will donate 5% of online revenue to COVID-19 relief efforts. This is from Rockstar's Twitter. Good on them for doing that. That's probably a hell of a lot of money because that game makes a hell of a lot of money online.
Sure does.
Yeah. They're doing it from April 1st to the end of May. 5% of their revenue.
Awesome.
Which is still... probably a big chunk of change.
Yeah. All right. Number five, long running official Xbox magazine shuts down. This comes from Eurogamer. So this is terrible news for those people who are affected, but also not surprising news
because it's digital or print media.
Yeah, print media is dying. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, hopefully they had a online counterpart that they could kind of just transition to.
They better hope.
Yeah.
So the magazine started in 2001, so it's been around since the launch of the first Xbox, which is a very, very long time. Number six, ESA sets date for reimagined E3 2021. This comes from Polygon. E3 2021 will be June 15th through the 17th, 2021. The Entertainment Software Association has told partners, according to GameIndustry.biz, the organizer is said to be working on a reimagined event when it returns next year. To go along with this actually means that E3 2020, they will not be doing a digital event. They're not doing any event. They're canceling E3 for this year entirely.
Wild.
So that's why this next part is kind of rolled in. So on Friday, IGN announced that it will hold an online Summer of Gaming event in early June with supporting partners including Square Enix, Bandai Namco, 2K Games, and Sega, along with other game companies. The event will include live broadcasting and on-demand programming featuring IGN editorial coverage of the work of game developers from around the world. So that's going to be really big.
You know, it'd be nice.
Yep.
If they fix their goddamn app on the PS4, it's shit.
Oh, really? I used it once, like, a long time ago. I was like, this is not the way to go. This is definitely not the way to go.
I used to use it a lot just to look at, like, new trailers for stuff. And
oh, yeah.
They have some decent content on there, but it's just trash. Like,
yeah.
the UI is just trash and it frequently breaks.
Yes, yeah, that's always been my thing. It's like, in order to type in anything, I have to literally move. I'm not doing this. But this is actually going to be a really big move for IGN because normally, I mean, yeah, they're like one of the biggest new or gaming news outlets, but like, I don't think they've ever done something this big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they always just cover stuff. They've never really hosted anything this big, at least this big in a long time.
Right.
So I'm definitely can't wait for this. I feel like this is going to put a pin in E3 and like what kind of market they're going to be able to come back to. So
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. Number 7, Call of Duty allowed to include Humvee. Court rules in favor of activism in trademark case. No, Activision. Jesus, I should.
There you go.
Yeah, in trademark case. This comes from GameDaily.biz. That was not my mistake. That was a mistake in the article. Not my fault.
Sure, Jen.
So in 2017, AM General, the automotive manufacturer behind the Humvee brand, filed a lawsuit against Activision Blizzard over the supposed misuse of the vehicle in the Call of Duty franchise. The charge presented by AM General lawyers alleged that Activision used the Humvee brand in the video games without expressed permission. Now, 3 years later, a New York judge has ruled in favor of the publisher on the grounds that the presence of the Humvee-styled vehicle helps create a realistic depiction of modern warfare, too.
Mm.
Yeah, right. Number 8, NBA players are having an official NBA 2K tournament featuring Kevin Durant. This comes from Kotaku, and that's great. Have fun. Play your b-balls. I don't know. I really don't know.
So funny enough, though, since the season has been suspended until further notice, apparently the game does not know how to handle that. It has a feature called Start Today, and it's My League mode, which lets you, you know, do a career based on the current standings and stats of the NBA.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And take it from there using the actual schedule.
Yeah.
However, if you try to do it now, the game keeps trying and failing to simulate the results and then just crashes.
Oh, gee.
Because it has no data to work with.
Does not
do my best.
Does not compute.
Whoops.
Oh, geez. And then funny. Last and not least, I guess last and least, GameStop fully closes Massachusetts stores after Boston city government gets involved. So basically they told them, hey, you're not essential. And they were like, but we kind of are. And they were like, nah, fam, you're not essential. And they're like, okay. Okay.
You win. Everybody wants to be labeled essential. I've seen somebody in like a Chuck E. Cheese style costume asking like, how the hell is my job essential?
And by seen somebody, are you talking about yourself, Sean?
No, sir.
I seen this nigga in the bathroom.
He just
like me.
You know what? I'm going to give you that one. I don't have a comeback right now.
2 months later, Sean gonna hit camera to the car. Oh shit. But that's it for the
I know case. Where he lives.
Alright. And now it's time for the heavy hitters.
All right.
So guess who has changed their mind?
Who that is?
The Who.
What?
So, The Who last year had said that people who will play games all the time is known as a gaming disorder. It's an illness.
We did a whole podcast about it, yeah.
We did a whole podcast on it.
Yeah.
Well, well, well. Guess who's come crawling back?
Look what the cat dragged in.
So, The Who, the World Health Organization, and the video game industry have teamed up on a Play Apart Together, a promotional campaign that encourages healthy physical distancing by bringing special events, exclusives, activities, rewards, and inspiration to some of the most popular games in the world and some of the industry's biggest, most powerful companies. And by most powerful and biggest, I mean like Trolius. Here is we go. Activision Blizzard and Zynga.
No, apparently they have a revised list now. So Sega is in there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Koei Tecmo.
Playing a Sega game.
Ouch.
Oh, well, technically, unless you throw in like Yakuza, like unless there's like a special event for Yakuza.
I mean, they got 275 Yakuza games, so
not wrong.
They got Monkey Ball.
Monkey Ball?
Yeah, but no, Google Play, Microsoft, Facebook Gaming.
Okay.
Facebook Gaming.
Yeah, I mean, that's a
thing. Is what it is.
Farmville?
Yeah.
So basically nobody. And, so yeah, but the idea is to get you to stay home instead of going out. Now, I wonder how this is going to jive with certain internet companies like slowing down like bandwidth in the US and in Europe to compensate for everybody being home. It's kind of hard to do a play a part together.
They wouldn't have to slow down bandwidth if they used the goddamn tax breaks they were given to build out fiber to every home like they were supposed to in the 90s.
Oh, not wrong. But, shots fired.
But, you know, they ain't,
message.
Get that ain't none of my business.
Ooh, Riot Games is in there. What does Riot Games have?
League of Legends, and I think they made Valorant. Oh, yeah, Valorant, yeah. I don't know how you say that shit.
I think it's Valorant. Okay. That's that first-person shooter. It's supposed to be the big first-person shooter. That's supposed to be pulling people off the games, other games, but I don't think it'll happen.
Counter-Strike Go mixed with Overwatch.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's it. Get your gaming in. Play a part together. Hashtag.
I've been doing that since I can remember. Whatever.
Right. I don't need no hashtag to do that. Nigga, get out of my face.
That's a regular Tuesday night.
Right.
It's funny because it's Tuesday night.
Yeah, you're right. Now. Oh, look at him. Salting his segues.
Breaking the fourth wall on this podcast.
He peeked behind the curtain.
Mm-hmm. You know you only break down walls once a year, Cam. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You're in a sexless marriage. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry.
I have nothing.
Okay, we're even. Cam, we're even now.
Cam
we're even.
Turns on Mario Party.
Oh man! Oh well.
Oh my gosh.
In other news, I couldn't even segue anything from that. So Naughty Dog has had a rough couple of weeks.
Speaking of sex.
Terrible.
It might actually be the roughest couple of weeks I think they've ever had, because I don't ever remember them being in the news this much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for starters, you might have been hip to the fact that Last of Us had gotten pushed back again indefinitely. But just today, I believe, The Last of Us 2 got taken from the PlayStation Store entirely. And they're refunding people for their digital pre-orders. Now, with all the pushbacks, you could easily chalk it up to, you know, coronavirus and, you know, the fact that they still have some kinks to work out. And since they can't collectively come together like they would normally do, they have to take more time. But with the whole game getting taken away from the PlayStation Store, that actually seems like something bigger happened, and I have no idea what it is.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're going to push it back to just PS5.
No, God! No, God, please, no! No!
How mad would y'all be if they did that?
No!
Very.
Why?
Yeah.
Because.
Because I want to play it now. Right? Like, what kind of question is that?
I get that, but like, I feel like, of course, we're not getting the full story. And I kind of feel like if they do push it back to PS5, there has to be a reason for that.
Yeah.
And if the other side to it was like, yeah, we could have released it for PS4, but then it would just been a chugging mess. It's like, that wouldn't have been a good experience. Like, that would have been terrible.
Right.
So, like, but yeah, if you have to do that, then do that.
What has me curious is the fact that now, obviously, coronavirus has influenced some of this, but there's no way that Naughty Dog would put out a messy,
broken,
hard to play broken game. They just wouldn't do it. And so I'm kind of wondering if something is going on behind the scenes right now that made them just wholesale take the game off the PlayStation Store until further notice. I'm very curious, and I hope that bad is going on.
Honestly, I don't even think that coronavirus has anything to do with this. I think this might be, I mean, I think, okay, coronavirus yes, that might be like someone involved, but I don't think that that's like the main culprit. I think there's something else going on because it seems weird.
Okay. I would say it's possible that they don't want any leaks.
Leaks? You think leaks? You think that'd be the issue?
Like they don't want to work on it remotely. They've already had a few bits of footage leak out already.
Okay.
It's kind of hard for all of this game development to be done remotely.
That's a fair point. Yeah, because some stuff did leak recently. And speaking of leaks, Troy Baker was interviewed recently about the game. And for those that don't know, Troy Baker plays Joel in The Last of Us. And he made a statement saying that he hopes that people come into The Last of Us 2 with an open mind because it's going to prove to be a very divisive story.
Ooh.
And on one hand, that shouldn't be that surprising because The Last of Us had one of the most gray area endings that I've ever seen in a video game. Mm. But on the other hand, the fact that he went out of his way to make that statement has me both very scared and very, very intrigued to see the journey that we're going to end up going on whenever Last of Us 2 comes out.
Ellie's going to die. I think Ellie's going to die. Like, for as divisive as Last of Us 1 was, for them to say, hey, this may be more divisive or whatever, it's like, right. We already have a capacity for divisive games based off of playing the first one. Mm-hmm. So now you're telling us that this is going to be, like, some shit has to go down. So, like, I don't know. I think the speculation, and, like, I think everyone is kind of ready for Joel to die.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's going to go that way. Because if Joel dies, it's just like, yeah, okay, we kind of all expected that.
I have thought that the girlfriend that we meet, that they've introduced us to for Ellie, I think she's a spy.
Okay.
I think that something's going to happen and she's going to completely pull the rug from under Ellie in a big way and probably lead to the destruction of this new community that they live in. And she might be there under like some sort of Firefly, like new Firefly orders. I don't know, but
yeah.
You know what the wise man Tupac once said?
What?
Bitches get horny, niggas die.
Well, then.
Wise words from Sean.
Thank you, Sean M.F. Ross.
I can't come back from that, so I'm just going to go to the next story. So, in other news, Sony and Microsoft may contend with thinner launch lineups for PS5 and Xbox Series X due to the pandemic. So, this story comes from GameDaily.biz. Oh, and the last story came from Segment Next. I didn't say that.
Yeah.
So, this story is basically covering what we already know and what we've already kind of covered in different news stories over the last couple weeks, which is the coronavirus has really affected the production cycle of video games, or I mean art in general, but definitely a big hit in the video game realm. And it has people wondering, do they push back the release of the next generation of video gaming? Some people are wondering if they're going to get pushed to 2021 or if they're just going to push it to later in the holiday season. A lot of games, just like Last of Us, Wasteland 3 from, is it In Exile Entertainment?
Sure. Oof. We'll go with that.
Yeah.
I'll double check.
And other games have been pushed back due to the coronavirus pandemic. It's speculated, and at this point, we shouldn't be surprised that even Sucker Punch's game Ghost of Tsushima, that was scheduled to come out June 26, is also probably going to get pushed back. And we're at a point where, with production cycles in the artistic industry at a standstill, people are wondering how they're going to bounce back from it.
Yeah.
Canton Games analyst Dr. Serkan Toto believes that the delays we've seen so far are just the start, and that many game publishers have found themselves scrambling in this pandemic. In a quote, he says, "As far as game development goes, nothing good can come out of the pandemic. Outer Worlds for the Switch was the first high-profile delay and has now been followed by Sony's big releases. We will see more delays, and various publishers out there are surely busy readjusting this year's release schedule internally right now. I wouldn't be surprised if that included Sony and Microsoft and other next-gen launch lineups.
Damn.
Hmm.
It's unfortunate.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, just real quick, a game that is actually apparently thriving in this current slum, No Man's Sky. They just released an update with mechs, and it's called the Minotaur, and it looks pretty fucking awesome.
Well, you know, it's a good time for No Man's Sky to be thriving because it's a desolate wasteland where nobody goes and people aren't going outside, so makes sense.
Oh, yeah, another thing. Speaking of Wasteland, Wastelanders 3, it is in Exile Entertainment, so you're right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, given the way that the coronavirus situation is continually evolving and in a lot of ways continuing to get worse, I wouldn't be surprised if at this point we do see PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X releasing in 2021, because we're still trying to flatten the curve and more people are catching it. So until we actually find a way to flatten the curve, things are just going to continually get taken off the docket. And I wouldn't be surprised if that meant the next generation of gaming is just pushed back a little while.
Yep.
Unfortunate.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, Amazon is trying their luck at the game industry with their own platform. Allegedly, it's called Project Tempo.
Ooh.
It's supposed to be Google Stadia's competitor. So, I mean, they have a wait-and-see approach. They can see where Google Stadia failed. They already have their own web servers as well. I think Google has their own DNS servers. I'm not sure if they have web servers.
Really?
But Amazon has their AWS stuff going on. So, they already have an infrastructure and streaming experience with Hulu and Twitch and what have you. So, allegedly, this is going to launch... Okay, it was supposed to launch in beta this year, but it may be delayed to 2021, of course, due to the current situation that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
I think they have another game also. Let me see what the hell is the name of that.
Are you talking about Crucible?
There you go. Crucible is a science fiction shooter that's supposed to launch next month. However, that was probably the original release schedule, so we'll see about that.
Right.
It looks like it's a hero shooter as well.
That's the name of the game these days.
You get cat people.
Apparently, it's a team-based combat game, which borrows elements from battle arena games like League of Legends and Dota 2.
League of Legends.
Shout out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we'll see about that.
Honestly, at this point, they can't come out more like a wet fart than Google Stadia did. Like, they have nowhere to go but up. And I just hope that they come out strong, because, like we said before, Google Stadia's cardinal sin was the fact that they came out the gate talking trash and saying that they were here to end the console generation and then had nothing to show for it. So,
yeah, they can't come in here trashy like the Stadia did.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And last.
All right, guys. So we did talk a little bit about the PlayStation 5. So there's been a big, real big, real chunky, real saucer-like, real weird release.
Get on with it, Weep.
Yeah, okay. So the PS5 controller has been released, and they have dubbed it DualSense. Yes, it is called DualSense, not DualShock. Dual sense,
because it can sense your fear.
Ugh. So this article comes from Tech Radar. So this controller, if you haven't seen it, I would advise you to see it and then comment on the internet.
It is on our Instagram.
It is. Check it out, and only check it out there, and only comment there,
and then berate DJ for his bad opinion.
Or you can like my opinion, because it is an actual factual opinion.
You guys want to see a dead body?
Nah, bro.
Wow. All right, so this new controller, yes, it is trash. This new controller has a couple new features coming that's going to innovate and revolutionize how we play games and how we hold trash in our hands. So first of all,
God.
Hold trash in our hands.
It has adaptive shoulder button triggers. So basically, this is the You know what? So the Xbox One, the controller had adaptive triggers too, right?
Yeah, but I didn't really hear anybody putting specific use to it. Yeah,
so now PlayStation has that. This controller has swapped the DualShock, which is a rumble, for haptic feedback. Haptic feedback is more precise in terms of the whole controller might not shake now, or the whole controller won't shake. You'll have like different parts of it shake to simulate more like you're touching something or actual.
Probably like, kind of like the HD rumble from the Switch.
Yes, yeah, that's a very good comparison. Sony replaced the light bar at the top of the controller with a LED that surrounds the touchpad. Oh yeah, by the way, the touchpad has gotten much bigger.
It's
I don't know why.
Thick.
Boy, that's a thick ass bar. Damn.
It.
Hopefully they put this on sale before the system releases, like they did with the PS4, and you can buy it.
Yeah.
Because
get your hands on it.
Yeah, the DualShock 4 actually was released before the PS4 came out, and it was actually backwards compatible with the PS3. I don't know if y'all remember that.
Yeah, I remember that. I believe the PS4 controller will be backwards will be forward compatible with the PS5. Yeah. So I'll be hanging on to that until I am convinced otherwise.
Your opinion is bad and you should feel bad.
Guess what? I don't.
Yeah, that's why it's not bad at all. You're going to like it.
They changed up the ergonomics of this. It's two-toned. They swapped out the share button for a create button, but ultimately I just imagine it's going to do the same thing.
Yeah.
They have a mute button right below the PlayStation button.
Mm-hmm.
And
you might be asking yourself, where is the PlayStation button? Well, that's because the PlayStation button is in all black and it's in the black section of the controller.
Actually, it looks silver. It's just the way they photographed it.
Also, it's African American.
You heard what I said.
But okay, so DJ's argument is that it does not look ergonomic. However,
spell ergonomic.
The bitch looks like it has overalls on. I am not supporting this.
I've seen numerous studies and articles saying that the original DualShock 1 through 4 was not very ergonomic. However, it was so iconic that Sony just did not want to mess with greatness. And
same thing with their logo.
Yeah, people just like it, so they didn't want to change it out. But I've heard numerous times also that the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One controller is more comfortable and ergonomic. And, you know, it's bigger than the DualShock, which people have been asking.
And I mean, frankly, it's just a DualShock controller that did the fusion dance with the Xbox One controller, and now it looks like the Avengers Endgame time suit.
I mean, but I've seen a picture of it in all black, so I mean, it doesn't look bad. I don't know if y'all checked that out
yet. The all black one looks better than this monstrosity. But at the end of the day, for me, this feels like PlayStation has given up. This feels like PlayStation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. This feels like PlayStation has basically said, all right, Xbox, you win. Your controller is a better controller, and we're just going to ape that, but do a terrible job of that. It's just like, come on. Like, at least keep some of the things that made your controller special.
It still looks not
like. It's just a triangle, square, X, and circle. That's the only thing that's there.
Nah, they have the superior D-pad.
Okay.
Some
people
like
D-pad,
the sticks right next to each other.
No, I do. Preference. I love. Yeah, I'm happy they didn't make that switch. If they made that switch, I would have pre-ordered the Xbox. I'm like, fuck it.
Use a damn
I
lie.
I would have took the next step. But like, I don't know. Like,
this would be your last episode.
Right. Blowing everything up. Just fuck that. Like, but yeah, it's just, I don't know. I mean, the cool thing is that it's USB-C. That's good. Like, a lot of these,
I don't buy anything if it doesn't have that.
Oh shit. All right, 1%er. Damn.
No, you whatever, man.
I'm sorry. I don't buy these Apples because they don't have USB-C connecting. Okay. Thank you very much. But yeah, like, I don't know. Give me about like 4 months or so and maybe I won't pre-order
the. By the time it comes out, you'll come around.
Maybe, or I'll just keep the PS4 control. So, okay, I kind of hope that they can have this be the default controller, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I really hope they do, like, an anniversary controller where it's the PS4 controller. It just has all the features of the PS5 controller. That would be great.
I guarantee you somebody will swap out the internals to a PS4 controller. You can buy that.
DM me. I will buy it. Mm-hmm. Right now, even without the PS5.
He's a sucker.
But
just go ahead and get you a Mad Cats PS5 controller, bro.
Oh no, not the Mad Cats.
Shit. I'll keep my AA batteries on me. Oh yeah. So that's pretty much the controller. Everyone is ranting or raving about it, and you can catch that all online. But that's pretty much it.
Somebody said a built-in microphone and a PS5 controller? No, thank you, Sony. I don't want a device that I'm going to use every day be able to listen to me and my conversations sent via iPhone.
Right. Oh, shit, that's good. That's good.
Oh man.
I just quickly looked at PlayStation Europe's Twitter account for this breaking thing. And I was
like, I love it.
I was not disappointed by the imagery that I saw, including one guy having the image of the controller on his phone. And then you see what I'm going to assume be lotion drip onto the phone. Yeah, there was no sound to that. So I'm just going to hope that was lotion. But yeah.
Whoa.
All right, take us home.
Right.
All right. Come on. Well, this has been one of those special episodes of the award-winning Press X to Start podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode as much as I enjoyed hating on this controller. Don't forget to rate and review on your favorite podcasting app. Every little bit helps. It got us the bronze this year, so hopefully a little bit more will get us a higher award. So, appreciate it. You can catch all this and more on our website at pressxnumber2start.com. Until next time, I will be paying Tom Nook off in Animal Crossing. Yeah.
Uno out.